without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real...
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.
The American, the Genesis Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for this hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, who's with us. And, of course, we are living in really one of the most exciting times, certainly of my lifetime, as we begin to see the total destruction of the financial base of the United States. In fact, I was just reading Alan Greenspan, his latest book, and he was talking about how the best way to destroy a nation was to debauch the currency, and not one person in a million would understand what you were doing. Not one person in a million would understand what you were doing. And that's really, in many respects, what's going on today, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, and he's the one who did it.
Right. And I think it's so amazing that he would point out that most people would have no idea what was going on.
Yeah, I saw an interview that took place over the weekend with the Telegraph with Anna Schwartz.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Schwartz was co-author of a book in 1965 about the Depression with Milton Friedman, and they pinned the Depression on the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a revelation at that time. And she said that this is what we're seeing right now is a fault of the Fed, and that this was Alan Greenspan's fault, and he shouldn't be trying to lay the blame elsewhere, because the blame really lies with him.
Right.
And she really raked him over the coals, which I've been doing for a long time, 10 or 12 years. Because, you know, they, in December of 95, when Sir Alan said that irrational exuberance was about, they could have quickly solved the problem simply by raising margin requirements from, say, 50 to 60%. But they were not interested in squelching a burgeoning stock market, because there was too much money to be made by Wall Street. And so it continued until we had the finality of the dot-com craze, which ended up in March and April of 2000, and the beginning of a collapse, which cost about, on a net basis, about $7 trillion. And fortunately, we got all our people out in April of 2000. But this is how this thing has evolved. They really, what they should have done, the Fed should have done back in 1992, was have the deep recession that was needed at that time. We could have purged the system. It would have been painful, but not you know, perennially bad. It wouldn't have lasted for 6 or 7 or 8 years, probably 3 or 4 years. Now we're in a position where the purge is coming, and it's going to last a lot longer.
It sure is. And, of course, you know, you'd be watching gold and watching silver. They are really beginning to move up, and move up in a hurry, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And don't everybody, you know, look for a collapse in the markets tomorrow morning, or in a week, or a month. It's going to take time for it to happen.
Okay, well, you hang on. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman right here at Genesis.
Now you can bring Berkey Purification Power anywhere with the Sport Berkey Filtration Bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with the Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts, now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central. Formidable Alex Jones says, "This is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with the Divided Kingdom."
If you're an adult male, you need to listen to this information. By the age of 60, half of all men have a prostate-related problem. In the past, many men have turned to saw palmetto to support prostate health. But now, there's something much better. It's called Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. In fact, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same benefits of one dose of Beta Prostate. It's guaranteed to provide noticeable support, even if you're already having prostate-related health issues. Now you can get Roger Mason's Beta Prostate formula through this special offer. And if you call now, you'll learn how to get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Feel a difference or your money back. Here's how to order.
Call now to order Beta Prostate. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Support your prostate with safe, all-natural ingredients. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and we know that many of the major banking houses, Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, Bear Stearns, Morgan Stanley, and certainly so many of the other Morgan Chase are really having problems. They're all into these collateralized debt obligations, and almost every one of our major banking houses in the United States and many of those overseas are having problems. And this is a worldwide phenomenon. And certainly there's a housing bubble is collapsing, not only in the United States, but throughout the rest of the world. And it certainly looks like like we're moving into a recession, exactly like you said, Bob.
Unfortunately so. And it's all an accumulation of what we were just talking about before the break. And I have to say this in here. I don't often cut into a dialogue like this, but I've been taking beta prostrate for 15 years, and it works like magic. So those of you who heard the ad and are old like me, take advantage of it. Now to the business at hand. The situation could turn terrible in a very short period of time because a number of financial institutions are essentially bankrupt. And they're bringing in hordes, if you may, of money from foreign sources. They're doing that for two reasons. Number one, to allow these sources to dump their dollars. And number two, to allow the banks and other institutions the ability not to have to expose what's on their balance sheets and off balance sheets. And so it's kind of a backdoor way of financing, and of course it makes Singapore and the Middle East and all the other central banks that are involved with their sovereign trust funds very happy because they can dump the dollars, which they want to do.
Sure.
Excellent opportunity for them. And incidentally, they're usually getting a preferred that's paying 8 or 9 or 10 or 11%, which is really a giant yield, plus ownership, although they don't have anything to say about what goes on in the company itself. They don't have any board seating. But they still are getting a heck of a deal if the company stays in business. And I would assume they would raise money or be able to find money long enough so they could stay in business. And so this injection of capital into problematic American companies will continue. There'll be a lot more of them. And then there'll be the bailouts by the Fed themselves. They've got Bank of America taking over Countrywide, which is essentially bankrupt. They'd already borrowed over $50 billion from the Federal Home Loan Bank in Atlanta. And there was no hope because they're going to get hit with this first wave of subprime ultra loans. And then right after that, they get hit with the pick and pay loans, which will stretch over a 5-year period. So there was no way they were going to make it. They just needed the time to set something up so that they would be able to have it absorbed. And Washington Mutual was next. They're in the same position. And incidentally, we shorted both those stocks for our shareholders. We made that recommendation. They've made reams of money. And Washington Mutual, I think, will be taken over by J.P. Morgan Chase. And these deals are all guaranteed by the Fed. And they're not going to tell you that, but that's the way it is. And, of course, B of A and the Fed and Morgan are both shareholders in the Federal Reserve. So
are they losing control of the gold market and the silver market? Because certainly they've been going up very rapidly. Gold was up to 905 today. I think it closed about 904, 903 or 904. And silver was up to 1635. Are they losing control? What's happening there? Or is this just simply reflecting the drop in the value of the dollar?
Well, there was a tremendous fight in the pits today and on the COMEX. And at one time, gold very early on was up 18. I came in around 330. A.M. Eastern Standard Time, it was up 1560. They managed to knock it down to about a plus 560, and it ended up for $7 on the day. you're going to see more and more of this as the gold suppression cartel, which is made up of the Working Group on Financial Markets, which is the United States government, and the Federal Reserve and other central banks. And I don't know how much gold they've got left, but I don't think they have an awful lot that they want to throw into the market. So with that said, they were trying today to keep it from breaking out and staying over 900. And I can promise you they'll try again tomorrow. But I don't think they're going to be successful. The cat is, so to speak, finally out of the bag, particularly for professionals. The public doesn't have one clue to what's going on. They don't know anything about gold. You would have to be over 52 years old to in any way have experienced the great gold run between 78 and 82, which really topped out around June of 1980. And we did have a rally in 84-5, which petered out. We had another small one in 86-7. But since then, it has been on the radar screen of very few people, because a lot of the people who were in the gold market in the late 1980s, as you and I well known, are now deceased. And we made it this far, they didn't. And so it's an educational process, and the process is not going to come essentially from you and I. It's going to come from the markets themselves. The stock market will go down, at least for the next 6 months, on a Dow basis anywhere between 9,800 and somewhere around 11,000. And it probably will trade back and forth between that and 14,000 between now and the end of the year, but I think to the lower side. The earnings aren't going to be there. The credit problems haven't been solved. One company after another is going to be taking these horrendous losses, not only in the banking community, investment banking and brokerage houses, but also hedge funds and pension plans and all manner of investors, particularly professionals. And so that's going to go on for some time. And the systemic problems that are within the system now, as Anna Schwartz said, and I have said very often, throwing money at it is not going to make any difference. And the reason the Fed's doing that, the problem that they have, the reason they're doing that is they don't know what else to do. And quite frankly, there isn't anything else to do other than let deflation take over. And they don't want to see that because they don't want a replay of the 20s, but they don't know where it's going. If they read history, they should know where it's going, and that's up the spout. But that'll take a while. And so I think that the Fed and others and the other central banks, the Illuminati, will play this out to the bitter end. In the meantime, we'll have more wars, and we'll have more police powers in the United States. America will become a solidly corporatist fascist state, just like Italy and Germany were during the 30s. And they may be able to draw this thing out 4 or 5 or 6 years, but that'll be it. And deflation will take over, and eventually we will get a collapse.
Well, certainly, what do you think is going to happen to silver in the meantime? Because it's, you know, it's still running a gold to silver, a silver to gold ratio of about 50 to 1. And, you know, usually it gets down to 16 to 1, maybe even 10 to 1. Do you think silver has the potential really to take off like a big bird, or do you think she's going to just sort of peter along and parallel gold as far as the rise?
Well, I don't look at the ratios because they don't mean anything to me. I've
right.
been watching him for 40 years, and I'm a fundamentalist because I've never seen these things at any given time work for the most part. And with manipulation, it makes it even more difficult. That said, whatever gold does, silver's going to do. As long as we have inflation and hyperinflation, silver's going to go up. And I can't do anything but. I mean, look at platinum hitting new highs every day. We had a close today in platinum, an all-time high, but nobody talks about it. $1,591, up $31 an ounce. And And so, you know, historically, gold is sold $100, $200 less, usually about $100, less than platinum on a long-term basis. And so I think platinum's headed over 2,000, and I think gold is going to 3,000. And time frame, I don't know, but you don't have to know. You don't have to be that smart in this game. All you have to know is, are we in a gold and silver hyperinflationary bull market? And the answer is yes.
And, of course, the thing is, the hyperinflation part is the corker, because that's what's really going to wipe out the people out.
Right, and that's why you don't have to trade. You don't have to figure it out. You go in gold and silver-related assets, and you stay there unless you find a very good reason to make some changes, and then you go parallel.
Okay.
Which means you sell something and buy something other in that realm simultaneously.
All right. Well, you hang in there. We'll be back in just a moment or two right here at the Genesis Communication Network, and welcome your call.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, pocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest today is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And, of course, really what's happening is you're seeing the demise of the dollar. Inflation, according to Bob, is about 11%, and I think that's probably pretty accurate. And what do you think it'll be by the end of this year, Bob?
Well, I think we'll be over 15% if they continue to do what they're doing. And, you know, I start a little backing off in the interim figures for the money and credit, which is the old M3. And we had 17.5% last month. I think we might be down to around 16 this month, but that's only a guess. I haven't done the calculations yet. But as long as you have that kind of creation, the only thing that you can deduct from that is productivity. And those imbeciles in Washington keep on telling us that productivity is going at 4 or 5%, which is the same mantra that Alan Greenspan gave us back in the late 90s. And, of course, that didn't amount to a hill of beans. He was lying, and so was the government again lying. And so the factor of increased productivity is probably at best 3% and probably 2.5%, which incidentally is a long-term mean. And so if you deduct that from, say, 16.5%, you get 14% inflation. That's the way I look at it. And, of course, the PPI has been much higher than the official CPI, and it's been running over 7% as opposed to 4.3%. And so you juggle the figures around, and they're all bad. And so I think we can plan on 15%. And I got to tell you this, that if they don't have it over 15%, we're going to have deflation. And why? Well, we get the diminution in house prices and this horrible credit situation between banks. And then we have all of the loss of money that's happening within the banking and investment banking and brokerage in a number of other circles. It was sold as toxic waste that was dreamed up by these greedy people on Wall Street. And so that's very deflationary. So they have to offset that with inflation, and that's the way that they're doing it.
Well, certainly, you know, we hear about the unemployment running about, oh, I think it jumped to 5%. Is that a realistic figure?
No, it's not. There's a whole bunch of things that they leave out. And I've seen different estimates. Most of them come in around 12.5%. Mine's 14. And they don't count anybody who has been dropped by unemployment. You know, once you don't collect unemployment anymore, you become a non-person. And then we have all of the people who have been laid off from their jobs since 1990, which is now 17 years ago, and all those 40 and 50-year-olds are 57 and 67, and they still are not employed. Well, you pack them all in there, and you get 14%. And a lot of these people are highly productive, but American industry doesn't want you after you're 40. You're a liability, and you cost too much. And, of course, they're hiring people to replace people like that today in India by outsourcing, and they're paying them 10 or 20 or 25% of what, maybe as much as even 40% of what people are getting paid in America to do the same job. And so they lose them, and they don't care whether they lose them a lot, not because they are able to hire slave labor. And the same thing is true with our blue-collar jobs, of which we lost over 5 million in the last 7 years. And it's going to get worse. And this is all a result of free trade and globalization. And the only way to stop that is to legislatively implement tariffs on goods and services. And until America does that, they're going to continue to go down the chute, and they're going to end up as a third world country. And don't think I'm stretching it. My record for 18 years of publishing the International Forecaster is that I'm right 95% or more of the time, and nobody else can say that.
Well, I think that the globalists are not about to put on tariffs. I agree with you. That's what we need. But they are so dedicated to free trade, you know, that they're going to keep pushing that until, I think, you know, they have a major catastrophe here in the United States on their hands. Well, we're going to be back and right after the break. And if you have a question for Bob, our telephone number is 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791 right here at Genesis.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. But before we go on, Bob, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get the International Forecaster, how they can subscribe to it?
The Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It's about 30 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month. If you'd like to visit our site on the Internet, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. Theinternationalforecaster.com. If you'd like to email us, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to call toll free to get a free introductory copy, which you can also get on the Internet, you call 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
Okay, very good. Well, of course, amazing things are happening. Of course, the market was up strongly today. It was down strongly last week, and of course, this almost has to be manipulation, but it certainly seems to be going down more than it's going up. I think it was down about 75 points last week, something like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, now, Chris, what's happening as far as Europe is concerned? Is the Europe economy good? Are the European banks being affected by this as well as the banks here in the United States?
Well, the European banks have their own sets of problems, a part of which has been caused by the situation with the collateralized debt obligations. And there's been tremendous losses taken. You saw Northern Rock in England, which is now going to be nationalized. And I think eventually a number of banks throughout the world, particularly in Europe and the United States, will end up being nationalized or merged into other banks, which is this tantamount to nationalization. Each country has their own set of problems over there. The Eurozone has a terrible problem, and that is that the euro is not working as well as they would like it to. It's going up in value, which they don't like, but the euro's been undervalued for years, and the sleigh ride is over. Also, the European representatives backdoored the public of the European Union as opposed to the Eurozone. The difference is that there's 13 members of the Eurozone of 26 members in the European Union. So they all don't belong to the Eurozone. And they are, what they did was they backdoored a constitution that the people in the European Union did not want. And there's been fights in the European Union Parliament over the situation. Whether that will be changed, that I don't know, but people are very disturbed about it. And that, you know, enters the financial part as well. And Germany is tired of carrying the remainder of the Eurozone people because they've got a big trade surplus and everybody else takes advantage of it. And real estate never went up in Germany. And now it's going down, which is highly unusual. And that's very, very deflationary, particularly in a country like Germany. And whereas other countries like Spain and Ireland went up tremendously, France went up somewhat, and Holland went up somewhat, and Denmark, which is not in the European, or in the Eurozone, went up quite a bit as well. And their markets are coming down, but rightly so. Germany really didn't, so to speak, deserve that. There's no logic to it. But anyway, all is not well in the Eurozone or the European Union. And as the dollar goes down in value, it's going to make their products, to some extent, less competitive. I say to some extent because the U.S. doesn't really export that much anymore. We went to a 28% exporter down to about 13%. And so we have a service economy and it's getting worse. And the great wealth of all nations has been in manufacturing. And so, as you and I have talked about this before, Stan, it is the deliberate destruction of our capital structure within the United States to bring the American people to their knees so they would be forced to accept world government.
And I'm sure that's absolutely right. And the average American has no idea. He's not going to realize what's going on until he wakes up one day and finds his currency worthless. How far down do you think the dollar is going to go?
Well, I think a good guess, a median guess, is 52. What did it close at today here? Just to give people an idea. It closed down 0.29 at 75.61. And it's come down from about 110. And I would expect 50 would be a median, so to speak. It'll go there. The question is, will it go to 40, or 30, or 20, or 10? And we don't know that. And nobody can really say that that's going to happen until we get closer and we see what manifestations have taken place financially and economically, not only in the United States, but throughout the world as well.
Well, of course, the bigger thing is, what is the Fed going to do? Are they going to continue dropping the interest rate? Are they going to continue expanding the monetary base, which, of course, it is highly inflationary?
Well, they have a prime rate, if you want to call it that, a 4% down from 5, and or was it 5.25, but somewhere around there. And the opinion of, quote, the experts is anywhere between 2.5% and 3%, and that's not going to get the economy going. And they cannot solve their problems without purging the system. And they are totally unwilling to do so. And so the problems are going to go on and on, just like Anna Schwartz says. They're not going to go away. Throwing money at it, lowering interest rates, are not going to solve the problem.
But they
have to let these companies go bankrupt. That's what Anna said, and I agree with her.
Well, now, is she talking about the banks? Is she talking about the the businesses, or both?
All of them. Both.
Well, now, do you really think that they would let a major bank like Citigroup or Merrill Lynch actually go bankrupt, or they would simply nationalize them?
Well, they nationalize them by having them be absorbed by other banks or selling off pieces of the banks.
Mm-hmm.
It's six of one and half dozen of another. You can call it nationalization. You can call it absorption or merger or acquisition. They have all sorts of euphemistic names for the same thing. And that's what they're doing right now with Countrywide and WaMu. They are absorbing them. And the Fed, I promise you, is guaranteeing them against losses. And how are they doing that? They're doing that by creating money that does not exist. And they're giving money to Bank of America and will to J.P. Morgan Chase to take over these monsters' problems.
Well, certainly, Countrywide, Bank of America had about $2 billion invested in that, and they were going to lose that $2 billion, which, you know, I'm sure they could absorb, but that wouldn't look very good on their bottom line. But I think it's going to even look worse when they take on Countrywide with all of its problems.
Well, again, they knew when they put the $2 billion in that they were going to take it over. They just didn't tell you. And this was set up from the very beginning, and then the stopgap was the $51 billion that came out of the Federal Home Loan Bank out of Atlanta that they never told you about.
No, I've never heard about that, $51
billion. Oh, there's a lot more than that. That's just one.
They've
been spouting money since last March out of there. But, you know, if you don't read the international forecaster, you don't know what's going on. And it's as simple as that. And you're not going to get it in the Wall Street Journal and Barron's or even in the Financial Times, because they're not going to tell you all of the truth. They're going to lie by omission because there's no reason that they have to tell you. They can print what they want. They can omit what they want. And
well,
so
I think that we're
if you want to find out what's going on, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Well, I think that we're into some very, very difficult financial times, and you can just see the economy beginning to shrink down. You see the prices of, you know, at the food store. My wife is commenting that for the first time she's hearing people beginning to complain about the rising prices at the grocery store.
Well, I'll give you a good example. I eat a couple of breakfast cereals, and one of them is Cheerios. And Cheerios, I had a box here, and I bought another box, and lo and behold, they're different sizes. So they didn't change the price, they reduced the size. Now I see General Mills, which is the manufacturer and purveyor of Cheerios, has to raise prices again, and they're in a terrible dilemma of how to do it. Well, we can't make the boxes any smaller, so I guess we're going to have to raise prices. Either that or our profits are going to be affected. We're going to have a doubling in prices each year for at least the next couple of years, because more people are eating better foods. There has been droughts. There has been floods and fires that have abnormally affected things. But the whole direction of food production and consumption is headed upward, and the production can't keep up with the consumption. And then these meatballs throw in these biofuels and ethanol, which is going to gobble up all kinds of corn so that the aluminous can get richer. Ethanol is a total loser, and I don't have time to go into it on the program. Take my word for it. And as long as they're going to pursue that idiotic avenue, then we're going to have food shortages, we're going to have higher prices, and in the third world, we're going to have a lot of what the Illuminists call useless eaters dying.
Well, I fear that. I understand that, you know, in certainly the third world countries, the food is getting so expensive with the rise in the price of both corn and wheat products that a lot of people just can't afford to buy them.
That's right. Absolutely correct.
And, of course, that will begin to produce
so they starve to death.
Political unrest, and I can foresee real problems, you know, in a lot of these countries, including China and certainly Malaysia.
Well, how about the major cities of America where all of the food banks are empty?
Sure. Well, I think
they don't have anything left. It's all gone.
Yeah. And people could not imagine there really could be famine or hunger in the world. But I fear that, especially if we continue with these insane policies and we get the droughts and other things, that there are going to be real problems, because we don't have any backlog of wheat, which we've had, you know, for the last 30 or 40 years. And suddenly all of those backlogs are gone, and all we need is, one year with bad crops, and you're going to see hunger all over the world.
You're absolutely right. And that's why, you mentioned Ready Reserve earlier in the program on your advertisement, and people should be taking advantage of that. Well, the prices are cheap.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Food can only get more expensive based upon what they're doing.
People will order the Ready Reserve products through us. It helps Radio Liberty, and we think that they have excellent products. Well, certainly right now, should people be buying gold and silver? It's awfully high.
Well, it all depends on what you call high. And I think it's dirt cheap. And we've only come from about $270 an ounce approximately in the last 7 years, excuse me, to $902 an ounce. And that's a pittance when we had official inflation go to $2,268. Unofficial inflation is $3,000 an ounce. So if you were to buy gold, and I am correct, then you're going to make 150% on your money by just buying gold bullion or gold bullion coins, never mind numismatic or shares. So I don't think that gets any more difficult than that. And I've been dead right about just about everything. And it's a chance of a lifetime. Don't pass it up. Get out of the stock market because it isn't going anywhere.
Well, I agree with you, Bob, and I just hope that our listeners out there are getting into a defensive position, because I think that an awful lot of people are going to get wiped out before this is all over.
Well, wait till those pick-and-pay loans start hitting. Did you read Saddy's issue?
Yes, I did.
Did you read the letter that I received from a mortgage broker of long standing about the pick-and-pay loans?
No, I didn't. Why didn't you tell us about it? Because I did not read that letter.
What happened was this. People took out loans for 5 years, and they were... the pick-and-pay is, it's an option loan. You pay what you want. You have to pay the interest on the loan. And if you want to pay principal, you can. If you don't, the principal gets tacked onto the back of the loan. And the loan's okay for people who have substantial incomes, and for the most part, and people who have very good credit histories. The problem is it's only good as long as the price of the house goes up. Now, those loans are going to come due in a year and a half to 2 years right after the subprime ALTA loans. And there's going to be a lot of people who are, because house prices have gone down, who are going to walk away from homes that are priced, generally speaking, from $600,000 at the peak to $5 or $10 million. And so that's when the upper part of the market's going to crash.
Well, I think we're in for some exciting times. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, Bob. Thanks
okay,
so very
thanks,
much for being
Dan.
With us, and keep us posted. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Go to RonPaulStuff.com today and show your support for Ron Paul. Get the latest and greatest Ron Paul promotional gear to help spread the message. RonPaulStuff.com carries over 9 different hard-hitting 100% cotton t-shirts and 4 different designs of Ron Paul sweatshirts to help keep you warm during the winter months. Show your support with wristbands or buttons. Tastefully decorate your car and help promote Ron Paul's message of freedom and hope for America with bumper stickers and 24 kinds of brand new vinyl window decals. RonPaulStuff.com has what you need and offers the most competitive prices online. RonPaulStuff.com ships within 24 hours of ordering, so you can rest assured you'll be able to show your support in no time at all. The mainstream media can bar and ignore Ron Paul, but they can't ignore the millions of supporters. So log on to RonPaulStuff.com today or call 941-993-3700. That's 941-993-3700. And let's take America back.
Stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and let me just comment that I really do think that people should have a good supply of food on hand and all the other things that you need. I mean, do you have a Berkey water filter? Do you have the barrels to store your water in and pumps to get the water out of the barrels that you have? I mean, have you got the things that you really need if there is a major emergency or crisis in America, because I believe it's only a matter of time before it comes about. And so we do hope that if any of you already have a ready reserve food catalog, you'll get your order in, give us a call. And if you don't and you'd like a catalog, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Then, of course, what would you do if there was a major crisis, nuclear, biological, chemical attack on America? I mean, would you get out and try to run away? Where would you run to? What you need to do is know how to use your home as a shelter, and certainly we have the video sheltering in place. We have it at a very, very good price, and it's actually a DVD, but we think it's very well done and something that everybody should have. And should watch and begin thinking now about what you would do. Then we have a 4-tape set on civil defense. A 4-tape set on civil defense. We're the only people who have it, and we actually interview Wayne LeBaron, who actually did the Sheltering in Place DVD. We have a book entitled Nuclear War Survival Skills. That's Nuclear War Survival Skills. We do carry the potassium iodate that you'd want to have on hand if you were in a nuclear attack, and you'd certainly want to go ahead and fill your thyroid full of iodine so that you wouldn't get radioactive iodine in there and get cancer or hypothyroidism sometime in the future. So all of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And that book, Nuclear War Survival Skills, actually was originally a government publication put out, you know, when they were really interested in protecting the American people. They're not interested in protecting them today. I mean, they're making preparations for the elite, but not for the public. And you're going to have to begin thinking about how you're going to look after yourself and your family. And also, it's a good idea to have on hand, you know, some health products, and I'm talking about vitamins and minerals and the various things that, well, the things that Barbara and I take are the things that are in our catalog. And if you'd like a health catalog, you can simply request it. It's a separate from our regular catalog and from our the emergency food catalog. But it could be the health products, you know, the magnesium and selenium and the vitamins and vitamin D, and the alibiotic is great. I mean, this is what I take when I get a cold or a flu, and what we give to a lot of the people out there that, you know, when they are getting the flu, and then you take alibiotic and high-dose vitamin D. And, you know, certainly it helps me. I don't know what would help you, but certainly we've had excellent results with it with the people we've sent it to. So if you'd like to get the health catalog, if you'd like to get the food catalog, like to get a regular catalog, but that matter, our number is 1-800-544-8927. And don't put off making your preparations. Whether you make your preparations through Radio Liberty or through somebody else, that's up to you. But make your preparations, because believe me, when things get bad, everything is going to be empty. The stores are going to be empty. There's not going to be matches on the shelves there. And we do have a book called The Red Inside the Red Zone, which, of course, gives you a list of all the things. It's actually done by a defector from the Soviet Union who was trained in chemical biological warfare, and he does a real good job. And the list of the things you want to have on hand, a lot of things you don't think of, but you want to get them now while you can. So again, our number, 1-800-544-8927, and then pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium, 888-803.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Fudenberg, who is a vaccinologist. He's written some 800 peer-reviewed articles on vaccines, and certainly one of the most knowledgeable people in the world as far as vaccines. And, of course, we've in the past quoted from one of the abstracts of one of his articles where he talked about the real danger of the influenza vaccine. So without further ado, Dr. Fudenberg, thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about this study you'd done on the elderly, people 60 to 65, taking the influenza shot. So,
First of all, there are at least a half dozen papers in the last 2 years say the influenza virus does not protect us against the current strain of influenza. And it's probably because of the mercury content, thimerosal ethyl mercury, causes an 11-fold increase in risk of elderly people developing Alzheimer's disease. It also causes a 4 to 24-fold increase in incidence of various neuroimmunologic disorders such as Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, optic nerve atrophy, auditory nerve atrophy, and so on. The control for this, people are considered to be damaged by the vaccine if they develop symptoms between 7 hours and 7 days after its administration. Now, it's the flu vaccine, there are 5 of them. One flu myth is given intranasally, so it's not that dangerous. And it's a single dose vaccine, so it does not need an antibacterial preservative. However, the other 4 are all multi-dose vaccines. They have an antibacterial preservative called thimerosal, which is ethyl mercury, a very dangerous ingredient. We have bad lead from this country in plumbing, housing, and so on. The process of banning mercury is still going on. The Scandinavian countries banned it from vaccines in 1992. I think California, correct me if I'm wrong, banned this use of mercury in dental amalgams for pregnant women before they get to the fetus by 1992. Seven states have passed ordinances banning mercury-containing vaccines, and a bill to make this nationwide was introduced in the Congress by Congressman Weldon from Florida at MD. The co-sponsor is a conservative Republican. Co-sponsor a liberal Democrat from New York, Congressman Forrest Maloney. Two counties in New York, Suffolk and Nassau, have passed legislation about a year ago guaranteeing that any vaccine manufacturer who makes a vaccine containing mercury must also make one available to residents of their counties devoid of mercury. And 92% of the people chose the ones devoid of mercury for themselves and their family, even though the cost increased about 15 or 20%. Now, why have the CDC and FDA been so reluctant to ban mercury when everyone knows it's dangerous? Mercury from power plants is considered a hazard, and it drifts here from China, comes to the East Coast from the Midwest, and seven states are suing the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, for raising the permissible level of mercury excretion. The two cities in the country with the highest rates of autism, highest incidence, I should say, are San Jose, California, and Richmond, California. San Jose is built out of a quicksilver mine. Quicksilver is our method of saying mercury. And the incidence of mercury toxicity there is tremendous. The other place is Richmond, California, home to many crematoria, which spew forth mercury in their fumes.
All right, you hold on. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Dr. Fudenberg, who's certainly one of the leading experts on vaccines, with over 800 peer-reviewed papers dealing with vaccines. And he was just talking about the influenza vaccine and the date, first of all, pointing out that it doesn't work, and there are a number of papers that show it doesn't work, and secondly, the fact that, you know, it contains thimerosal, at least almost all of it contains thimerosal, unless you take the nasal vaccine. And, of course, the thimerosal can get you into all sorts of problems as far as progressive neurological damage. But why doesn't the CDC, Sydney, take action and get that thimerosal out? I mean, isn't the Centers for Disease Control there to protect our health?
That's your question?
Yes,
It does. 2000, the year 2000, high officials of the CDC and the FDA met in a secret meeting with representatives of Merck and other vaccine manufacturers to discuss methods of preventing the presence of thimerosal in the vaccines from becoming public. These people must have been handsomely paid, the FDA and CDC officials. They've been dragging their heels since. Now, they finally eliminated mercury in the most common vaccines, the measles, mumps, rubella. That was probably, they said they eliminated it in 2000, but it wasn't eliminated until 2 years ago. It was still present in stuff for the pharmacy.
Well, now, you were just saying that one of the highest rates of autism is in San Jose and
right.
In Richmond and these
right.
areas because there used to be quicksilver mines there?
San Jose was built on top of a quicksilver mine.
I see.
I have one patient out there, a 51-year-old lady, who developed symptoms diagnosed with atypical amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, that's Lou Gehrig's disease. My friend, the professor of neurology at the University of California Health Science Center in San Francisco, where I was formerly a professor. However, the incidence of Lou Gehrig's disease is about tenfold higher in people with greatly elevated levels of mercury than in people whose mercury levels are normal. About fourfold higher incidence in multiple sclerosis, about sixfold in myasthenia gravis. Usually these things are labeled atypical. This lady not only was exposed because she lived there, but her husband was going to visit Africa. She got six or seven injections of vaccines as preventatives, so she wouldn't come down with any of those diseases the Africans get. But lo and behold, she came down with a severe neurologic problem, which the neurologist still refused to believe is due to toxic mercury levels. She's going to Germany to get some kind of therapy for this.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Fudenberg. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Dr. Frudenberg, who is certainly one of the deans of vaccinology in the entire country, and certainly he's been around for a long time and writing over 800 peer-reviewed articles. And just talking about the relationship between progressive neurological disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and many of the other similar progressive neurological diseases, and mercury toxicity, and specifically related to vaccines that contain thimerosal. And, of course, people don't understand that they actually, they have thimerosal in almost all of the influenza vaccines we're doing today, which don't do any good, and yet they're doing everything they can to give them to children and to pregnant women and certainly to the elderly, even though they don't do any good. But of course, Dr. Frudenberg is pointing out that if the people take their flu shots regularly and they're older, there's a dramatic increase in the incidence of Alzheimer's disease. How much does Alzheimer's disease increase if you take those flu shots?
The risk is 11-fold that of control after age, sex, and years of higher education. Studies were performed in Madison, Wisconsin, Bethesda, Maryland, and Palo Alto, California.
Well, now, why doesn't the CDC just get the thimerosal out of there?
Well, I don't really know. My old hunch is doctors refuse to admit they were wrong about anything. So to take it out would be admitting a mistake. They finally took it out of the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine that was given to kids. California is the first state to ban that. But the incidence of autism in kids has risen from 1 in 10,000 in 1980 when the vaccines were not available to 1 in 150 about 3 years ago, and it's higher now. And people say the mercury was removed from the air bar 2 years ago, so it can't be that because the incidence is rising again. However, hepatitis B vaccine, which is laced with thimerosal, became mandatory about 2 years ago, and the flu vaccines were highly recommended, in quotation marks, by the CDC 2 years ago. The combination of flu mercury and the hepatitis B vaccine mercury exceeds by far that in the MMR. I would think that the people in Suffolk and Essex counties, New York, have right as they say, to give us no choice between mercury-free and mercury-containing vaccines is a deprivation of our constitutional rights to search for happiness. So you must provide, if you're making vaccines with thimerosal, vaccines of the same specificity, devoid of it. And again, this is a constitutional issue, and the inhabitants of those two counties overwhelmingly voted in favor. Now, I don't understand why a similar legislation can't be passed, which would avoid entirely the controversy as to whether or not this stuff is dangerous. Now, there are reports by the Institute of Medicine that there is no danger. But they base their reports largely on two papers by two Danish epidemiology groups. The first is The Lancet, an eminent British journal, in 1999, and the second is the New England Journal of Medicine in 2001. They said there was no correlation between vaccines and the onset of autism in infants. However, the Scandinavian countries banned mercury-containing vaccines in 1991 and 1992. The vaccines these kids were getting were mercury-free. The authors were careful not to point this out. It may be of interest that these two groups were paid consultants to the State Serum Institute of Denmark, the manufacturer of vaccines. The editors of two journals tell me, had they known this, the papers would never have been accepted.
In other words, basically the papers were fraudulent, is what you're saying.
Yes, well, let's say seriously flawed.
And of course, the people who wrote them then were actually working for the companies who were putting out the
They were paid consultants, yes.
The paid consultants. So this is hardly impartial. And that's the trouble with so much of our science today.
Right.
It is simply not science at all. It is simply politics, and it's for profit. And they are destroying it with the credibility of scientists. And that's a tragedy because we need honest people out there so we can avoid so many of these diseases. And this dramatic increase of autism is one of the greatest tragedies of modern times. What do you think about ordinarily vaccines for children? Should children take ordinary vaccines if they don't have mercury in them?
I can tell you, I have four boys.
You're right.
The only vaccines I gave them were polio, which is taken orally, and smallpox. Smallpox is very dangerous. It's administered by the skin. The other vaccines are all given by needle, intramuscularly or intravenously, and they're very dangerous. My kids didn't get those. They had no problem. They got mild cases of measles. I didn't get chickenpox with acquired immunity to it from the friends that they played with. And the vaccines might be indicated in places like Africa where nutrition is poor. But faulty nutrition caused a great rise in incidence of viral diseases and a great rise in the incidence of serious complications. Few American Caucasian children have malnutrition.
And so you actually would not give the vaccines to your own children, even though you've written hundreds of papers on vaccines?
Yes. I was a member of the World Health Organization Expert Committee on Immunology for 20 years. In 1962, I think it was 1962, between 1962 and 1967, we took a look at the ingredients of the polio vaccine. I think it was made by Merck, a very good scientist. I worked for Merck. He's deceased, unfortunately. But the Merck vaccine was grown in green monkey kidneys. It was contaminated by a virus which caused no problems to green monkeys, but if ingested in mice, caused very dangerous cancers. Cancers of lymph cells or lymph nodes. A virus called SV40. And 95% of the population of Denmark received that vaccine. We waited around for bated breath for 15 or 20 years to see whether the whole population of Denmark would be wiped out. Fortunately, they were not. There seems to be a species difference in susceptibility. So the green monkeys and the humans did not get a tuberculosis disease from this virus, but the rats given it to the same matter as humans developed a high incidence of it.
Well, was there
rats
any...
may be skeptical of vaccines from that on. There was a case in California went to court. Cutter Corporation, I think Alameda, in the 1970s, went bankrupt because of lawsuits. Its vaccines were producing the diseases they were designed to prevent. So they went bankrupt. By 1980, we were having an epidemic of a disease called ascending myelitis. It's also called the Guillain-Barré syndrome after the two French physicians first identified it. It was due to the swine flu vaccine. The swine flu virus was immunologically cross-reactive with antigens of human brain. Now, since then, I've been even more leery of vaccines. When each dose has been introduced, I've written the manufacturer, I think, had to check to see if this particular vaccine contains material which cross-reacts with antigens of human brain. And as I get no reply, I say, no, we've never looked for that. It's silly.
Well, of course, you're talking now about how the flu vaccine actually created all these neurological problems.
That's right, that's right.
And, of course, nobody died of swine flu, but a lot of people died from the vaccine.
That's right. And a lot became permanently paralyzed and lived in iron lungs.
Well, now, of course, do you think that there is any relationship between the vaccines and this marked rising incidence of Alzheimer's disease?
Well, let's put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised. We published the one paper with needed some more people looking at preferably people in other countries where the ties of pharmaceutical industry not that great. There was some excellent work on vaccines by people in Canada, a man called Christofferson in Saskatchewan Province, I think, published he did an associate in the Faculty of Medicine, the medical school there, published a paper in 2002 showing that tiny doses of mercury, ethyl mercury, as low as 10 nanograms, produced a damage to neuronal function in petri dishes as little as 10 seconds. A fellow named von Mutter, M-U-T-T-R, in Munich, Germany, and his colleagues published a whole bunch of papers on the dangers of mercury in vaccines. I think one of the problems is that the anti-vaccine people keep saying, ban the vaccines. The drug companies and CDC refuse to do that. Perhaps a reasonable compromise would be to provide two kinds of vaccines. One, a single dose, devoid of all preservatives, another containing preservatives. Incidentally, thimerosal does not kill bacteria, it merely prevents their replication. It's a bacteriostatic, not a bacterial vital. A lot of people get confused about that. They say if this vaccine, there must be a killed bug because that is, they've added thimerosal to it. Thimerosal kills. It doesn't. It just prevents replication.
Well, of course, the thing is that I don't think the average individual really understands the danger of the thimerosal in the vaccines. Because the Centers for Disease Control and the American Medical Association and the medical establishment and the pediatricians and the American Academy of Pediatrics keeps assuring everybody that there's absolutely nothing to worry about, and yet you as a scientist certainly feel there's a great deal to worry about, don't you?
Yes, and I think last year before, there were 4,987 lawsuits brought against pediatricians who informed parents that the MMR vaccine was completely devoid of any adverse effects. Any time you get a vaccine, you should insist on what's called informed consent. And sign a slip saying, okay, I've read this stuff, and I think the risk of not having a greater risk of getting a vaccine. But the recipients or the parents never get such things to sign. And so that's why all these suits have been overwhelmingly successful. I think the first one was brought not too far from you, San Mateo County.
Well, now, of course, was there thimerosal in the MMR vaccine for a time?
Yes, it was there until at least. They started removing it in 2001, but they stopped producing it in 2001, but the shelf life of the vaccine is 5 years, so the pharmacist, unless the recipient specifically requested vaccines avoid mercury for themselves or their kids,
okay, you hang on. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Fudenberg. Now, you were saying that the pharmacist had the medication on the shelf, and so they were still dispensing it even after 2003?
Yeah, until the middle of 2005.
All right. So basically, of course, we've got a real problem because, of course, with this epidemic of autism, I mean, I've heard it's much more prevalent in boys and although it's 1 in 100.
Now, there's a genetic predisposition, and how many genes are involved, nobody knows. There's a very good paper on this by a group of about 20 geneticists in Boston, it published in the New England Journal of Medicine last week, which shows that in some cases of autism, there's a very rare chromosomal damage. I'm pretty sure the mercury is the cause of the damage. They haven't looked at that. There's a genetic predisposition. What is also a genetic predisposition? I think one that prevents normal breakdown and excretion of toxic metals are those who almost uniformly come down with the disease. So it's about 15% of American kids are susceptible. If they've been in contact with toxic heavy metals or with certain viruses, measles are the most dangerous because it's the only virus used in childhood immunization. It binds the surface of the immune cells, causes them to lose all function. This was published in our nation's most prestigious scientific journal, Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, by a fellow named Oldstone down in La Jolla. I don't know what's happened to him, I haven't kept track. But that paper clearly pointed out that measles could cause paralysis of the immune function. Combine that with mercury, kids that can't get rid of the mercury, and they're sitting ducks.
Well, of course, is the mercury neurotoxic, or what?
Yes, it is. The mercury has many different actions. One, it has a direct toxicity on neuronal cells. Secondly, it blocks receptors for a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, a very important neurotransmitter. And that's responsible for lots of the neurologic symptoms. The fact that patients can't get acetylcholine into their brain cells. It also hurts the function of other neurotransmitters. The mechanism there is not clearly known. There's an interesting point I'd like to make. There's a disease called Sheepherder's disease, which is prevalent in Sheepherder's in northern England. It paralyzed acetylcholine receptors also.
No.
Now, soldiers of the first Gulf War, 1991 to 1993, had a incidence of about 15 to 20% of developing severe neurologic disease. Troops from France and Israel, no problem. Troops from England had the same incidence, but they didn't get our troops that went there had three different vaccines. They had anthrax, and it's worthless, dangerous, too, Dr. Nass at Far Harbor, Maine has pointed out, squalene, composed present in flowing zanazine, decided to boost antibody production, which gives them many of these. It's like 1.5 million of our troops in Iraq now have received anthrax vaccine, and it's dangerous.
Now, what they were doing was using squalene then as an adjuvant to try to make it work better, but the squalene was producing a toxic reaction in the,
right,
in the men.
Right. They formed antibodies to squalene. I'm writing a paper right now, a review article for the International Journal of Clinical Investigations, published in Naples, Italy, suggesting that although Sheeper's disease and the Gulf War syndrome have vastly different causes, in Sheeper's disease, it's organophosphate, an insecticide used to prevent sheep from being bit.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Pudenberg was talking about something called a sheep herder's disease seen in northern England, where apparently they use some sort of a phosphate?
It's called organophosphate.
Organophosphate treatment on the sheep, but it affects the sheep herders, and they develop a progressive neurological disease. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how is that similar to the disease that we were seeing among our Gulf War veterans?
This is identical. There's chronic fatigue, memory loss, muscle pains, neurological disease, the incidence of Lou Gehrig's disease increased 10 to 20 fold, lupus, classic immunologic disease. I believe that in both instances, antibodies are formed against foreign substances, maybe against acetylcholine, deposited on cells of the body which have them, and therefore block function. Now, the glial cells of the brain have receptors for these complexes. I think that's what happens also. I have no proof because you can't go around doing brain biopsies to prove a scientific point. I think the deposition of the complex of the glial cells renders them functionless. I've talked to Gerald Edelman. He's a Nobel laureate. He's now the director of the Neuroscience Institute at Loya. And he agrees with me that the process of these cells by immune complex of cells and barrier receptors would have tragic consequences. The cells of the kidney, liver, rectum of the eye, intestine, and so on, which also have such receptors. That's all the Wakefield. Used to be in England, now he's in Austin, Texas, wrote a paper in 1997 strongly suggesting that the disease called regional ileitis usually starts in people around age 30, was starting to occur in children. He see, 15 of them that all had symptoms of autism, but he found the DNA of measles virus in the regional lymph nodes. He was hard out of England because of that.
And, of course, what you're saying is that the measles virus, that is a culprit in some of these diseases?
Yes.
And the measles virus that comes from the vaccine.
Right.
And not the measles virus you get by ordinarily getting measles.
Yeah. Incidentally, the one you ordinarily get, immunity lasts far longer than it does if you get a vaccine. The vaccine wears out 3, 4, or 5 years for the stuff acquired naturally, at least 25 years. The guy, he said, the person who introduced the flu vaccine, a professor at the Australian National University in Canberra, Australia, just about 3 or 4 months ago announced that he was advising people not to take it because it was completely ineffective in preventing the disease.
You're talking about which specific vaccine not to take?
This is the flu vaccine, I'm sorry.
The flu vaccine, yeah. Right. And, of course, so they keep trying to get us to take it here, and yet throughout the rest of the world is recognized as not being effective. The problem is it's not only not effective, it's toxic because there's mercury in it, and it's creating terrible problems in the elderly and terrible problems in the young. And, of course, you're not getting that from the Centers for Disease Control. For whatever reason, they're concealing the scientific facts that are well known to physicians all across the country. Now, what about the measles virus, what can that specifically do as far as the individual is concerned?
Well, people with normal nutrition, it causes a very mild illness, just a rash and mild fever. In Africa, where there's fast malnutrition, it usually hits about 15 months. That's why we're immunizing at 15 months. Ridiculous, because we're not Africans. Usually hits about 15 months, they get measles in the brain because their immune system can't get rid of stuff. Our kids 50 months, they can get the stuff. And really, there's no need to give it before age 5 when they're in school. Age 5, the brain is fully developed. At age 15 months, it's only about 50% developed. And the immune system is about 30% developed. So they wait until age 5 when they start school. First of all, many of them would not need it because they acquired immunity by being exposed to the virus that their friends had. Secondly, the immune system and central nervous system would be far more developed. There'd be less risk of not being able to handle this stuff.
And I said, what's
your risk? If they just paid the individual doses devoid of the surface, it cut the risk down. I think it'd be like 90% of the risk.
All right, fine. And so you think that American children really don't need the vaccines other than the polio and the
schools get about 8% of the budget from the federal government, school district.
Right.
And that 8% could be used any way they want, so it's far more useful to them than if 8% were given by a Cali school district. So they, along with the federal government, said, look, if you don't get 50% of your kids immunized, I think it's 90% by the time they enter school, they're going to cost those funds. So school officials will say, okay, get your kids immunized. They can't go to school.
Well, I think the parents should have the right to say no, because there is a lot of harm that comes from these vaccines, especially if they're loaded with thimerosal and they know it's toxic, and they're giving it to our children, to our pregnant women, to our elderly citizens. This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Pudenberg, and we're certainly talking to him about vaccines. And how long have you been working with vaccines, Dr. Pudenberg?
Well, I started working on the AIDS vaccine in 1988. I was a professor of clinical immunology. I was chief editor of the Journal of Clinical Immunology, editorial board of 30 other journals. I worked in many different branches of immunology, mainly dealing with, of immunology to think of. But in 1988, I happened to, a friend of mine was a physician in New York City, Washington, D.C., he moved to New York recently, who saw only kids with autism. And I happened to visit her one time when she had a few of those kids in there. I was stuck. They couldn't speak. They looked very abnormal. They couldn't be touched because they were hypersensitive to touch. I was trying to figure out what was causing it, so we did a study. And we found out that of the kids that had a severe classic autism, all of them had received the MMR vaccine. And normal kids, most of them received it too, but no problem. So my team was a genesis, is now a professor. His name is Jay Pandy. And we did some studies to see if there were genetic influences on response to vaccines. And sure enough, there were. It's funny, Pandy published a review article on this in the year 2000. It's superb. You're just like a send you the reference. But the way they're measuring the immune response is indirect. They're measuring antibodies. Now, there are two kinds of immunity. One is mediated by antibodies. And that's what handles and kills common bugs like Streptococcus and Pneumococcus and Staphylococcus. The other is called cell-mediated immunity. It's the cells, the so-called T for thymic-derived lymphocytes, that are some of them are called cytotoxic T lymphocytes. They kill viruses. And these viral vaccines, the viruses are made against are handled by cell-mediated immunity, not antibody. The antibody is only an indirect measurement. No one's looking to see if the number of cytotoxic T cells is increased or decreased. I think of those who come down with severe illness, it's either been decreased to begin with, so they can't kill it, or for some reason, presumably genetic, the mercury and the virus combined to render the immune systems completely unable to handle this stuff.
All right, and so basically, these children, these tragic autistic children, already are victims then of mercury toxicity, do you believe?
Yes. Now, they eliminated the mercury from thermometers.
Hold that thought right there. We're going to bring our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Budenberg was a professor of immunology who's been but certainly working with vaccines, and specifically this issue of autism and mercury since the 1988, when a friend of his had several autistic children, and he began to study them. And it is his firm conviction that that there is a definite relationship between the thimerosal, the mercury, and the this tragic situation of autism, which is one of the greatest epidemics of our time. 1 in 60 boys has autism. 1 in 6 children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. And yet the CDC insists on leaving the mercury in the influenza vaccine after telling parents they're going to take it out of childhood vaccines. And, of course, they did take it out of childhood vaccines. They just left the mercury in the vaccines we give to children. And, of course, giving these mercury-laden vaccines to pregnant women and to the elderly, I think, of course, is borders on insanity. Why would you do something like that when you have an epidemic of autism and somebody is destroying the minds of our children? Well, Dr. Budenberg, what can be done? Is there any way to get the mercury out of the child and reverse the process?
Well, I think the thing to do is to people to write their representatives in Congress to support the bill that's been introduced by Congressman Weldon to ban vaccines containing mercury, as was done in Scandinavia and Russia, too, for that matter, and to write their senators. A similar bill was introduced by Senator Hagel, a Republican from Nebraska. So if they support those things, the ban will become nationwide.
And so basically what you're suggesting is that the legislation is there. There's legislation introduced by Congressman Kurt Weldon, who's a physician from Florida. And then, of course, Dr. Is that Hagel from Nebraska?
Yes.
And, of course, Senator Hagel is trying to get the legislation through. So this is something very, very important. Now, here in California, they've actually outlawed mercury in the vaccine, so we can be...
How is that hepatitis B flu? They've outlawed it before those vaccines became widespread. So it was applied just to the vaccines used at that time, like measles, mumps, rubella. But the measles vaccine was before the bill in California. The hepatitis B and flu came after the bill. That's why the incidence of autism is rising again in California. People say, hey, it can't be the mercury because we got it out of the measles, mumps, rubella. They don't realize there's more now, the combination of flu and hepatitis B.
Well, now, what about the hepatitis B vaccine?
It's loaded with mercury.
What's that?
It's loaded with mercury.
Well, I thought that they'd taken it out, supposedly.
Not of hepatitis B, no.
Oh, they didn't take it out of hepatitis B.
And hepatitis B just been in use, widespread use for 2 years. It became mandatory in the first 24 hours of life about 2 years ago.
Well, of course, I mean, this is ridiculous. Why do we want to give hepatitis B vaccine to our children?
It's criminal. There's no call for it unless the mother has hepatitis B. Hepatitis B is transmitted by saliva, mainly of blood. And newborn kids, 24 hours old, they're not getting saliva from mothers unless the mothers have hepatitis B.
Well, of course, now, what are the complications? Because my understanding is that certainly there are probably more problems with hepatitis B vaccine than almost any other vaccine. What sort of problems do people, the infants, get from the hepatitis B?
Same ones. Increase in all kinds of neurologic diseases. I think it's due to the mercury, not the hepatitis.
In other words, the children who get the hepatitis B vaccine, it's given routinely in the nursery all across America, and they're developing neurological diseases?
Yeah, right, because they're developing autism at an alarming rate. We used to diagnose autism 15 months after the measles, mumps, rubella shot, which is done. Now, it's given at birth, and parents don't know if they rock about 3 or 4 months when the child's showing no signs of maturing. They told the doctor, oh, yes, this kid has a delayed developmental defect. He's pretty smart. He'll think it might be autism. Sure enough, that's what it turns out to be. So we're diagnosing autism now at 3 or 4 months instead of 15. That's because of the hepatitis virus. They probably gotten the flu vaccine, too. They're supposed to get it sometime the first 2 years of life.
I think they get it 6 months routinely.
Well,
they're supposed to get the...
Right, from one state to another.
Right. Well, of course, as far as the hepatitis B vaccine, of course, most parents really don't understand the danger inherent in giving that to a newborn child when there is absolutely no justification. Is this some sort of a mass experiment that they're doing here in America? Why would they be giving a totally unnecessary vaccine to all of our children?
It can't be an experiment because there's no control group not getting it. I think it's purely a matter of money.
You think it's a matter of money, and you think that the people who are making it are making a lot of money?
Well, vaccines are very lucrative, and if someone comes down with autism as a result of the vaccine, it's proven that the pharmaceutical company makes it does not have to pay. They attached a rider to the appropriations bill for our current Iraqi war, saying that the federal government would pay, it was at one point $250,000 to any parent of a kid whose autism due to that. They're talking about raising it to $300,000 this year. It was introduced by a Congressman Burton from Indiana, Republican MD also. Those are two MDs in the Congress, both Republicans, both way out as far as the CDC is concerned because they're saying mercury is dangerous, don't give vaccines if we have it.
All right, fine. Well, certainly if anybody's out there in the listening audience and have a question for Dr. Foodberg, who's certainly on the cutting edge of this this discussion and why our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, earlier you said that, Chris, that almost everybody in Denmark got the polio vaccine that had the simian virus 40 in it, and you were waiting for a time to see what was going to happen to the people in Denmark. Do you think that the simian virus 40 actually produces some cases of cancer in human beings, or do you think it produces none? Certainly, we know it produces cancer in other animals, but not in the green monkey. But what about humans? Is there an increase in incidence of cancer in Denmark since we all those people received the simian virus 40 in the polio vaccine?
Unfortunately, the follow-up ceased at 15 years because funds to continue it were not available. So they must have stopped that about 1982 when the people were... So most cancers come with people, say, 60 or older, and most recipients have been teenagers at the time. And the ones who were older had died off of natural causes before cancer came out. So we don't have the answer to that question. I think it perhaps may, but only a small percent. It would appear that the vast majority of humans are immune to the simian virus.
All right.
The simian monkey themselves.
In other words, maybe a small percentage of the people are getting the cancer from the simian virus 40, but certainly, you know, if you're going to give a vaccine and you're going to give it to everybody, it should be completely safe, not relatively safe, or only a small number of people are going to get cancer from it. How did they justify doing that when they really didn't know what was going to happen for 20 years or more?
Well, they said polio is a very bad disease. We got something to help you. Let's give it.
Well, it certainly did a good job of doing away with polio, and this is really, from my point of view, and as an orthopedic surgeon, you know, I just didn't see polio during my years of residency. The only ones we saw were the residual polio cases, and of course we saw a lot of them when we were over in Africa and had a chance to operate on them there, but we don't see the polio here, so it really was a miraculous thing, but what a tragedy, of course, it had to have that simian virus 40 attached to it, and they really didn't do any studies, you know, to clarify the issue before they started giving it. Well, right now, of course, they're coming up with all sorts of new vaccines. They've got a vaccine for everything. What do you think about this vaccine they have for the cervical cancer?
I think it's ludicrous. First of all, it's a Merck product. Merck had a lot of problems with drugs. VIOXF, which caused a pain reliever, which caused strokes and heart attacks. It's been hit hard by a couple other bad things. Now, it had a AIDS vaccine, which caused AIDS. They're preventing it. They withdraw it, but they've been sued heavily. Now, the Gardasil, which is the vaccine against the cervical cancer, they want to make it compulsory for every 11-year-old girl to get it. First of all, I don't know if it's mercury or iron. I assume it is. But secondly, I would think that the parents should be able to decide whether they want their 7-year-old daughter to receive the stuff. It's got to have some risk if their daughter is such that they see she won't be promiscuous. And why bother with it at all? Sure, they plan to treat all 11-year-olds the same way. They're marked different in their sexual behavior. And they've bribed legislators in many states to try to make it compulsory for all 11-year-old girls to get the stuff. It's caused illness in at least 11 known kids. I don't know, probably many more, because most vaccine-caused doses are not recognized.
Well, 11 cases, of these are deaths, or what sort of reaction?
Well, they had high fever and rash and transient paralysis. I think the paralysis cleared up. Incidentally, a fever is a sign that something's gone wrong with the body. All the recipients of the MMR had at least mild fever. And you should say, oh, it's nothing. But something is wrong with the stuff. The kids that became autistic had fevers of 104, 105 in the 12 to 24 hours of getting the MMR.
All right, fine. So I assume then that you're feeling that this idea of giving this vaccine to every girl is just a ridiculous thing to do, especially at 11 years of age, because actually doesn't the immunity wear off by the time they get up to the age where they're going to be, becoming sexually active?
That hasn't been tested, but I'm pretty sure it would. They did test it. Incidentally, the head of the vaccine program at Merck was a man named Maurice Hillman. Sort of a genius work.
Yeah, he was a pretty good man, wasn't he?
He sure was. I was a consultant. I was the immunologic consultant to Merck for 10 years. During that time, trying to persuade him to get rid of mercury. I didn't succeed by trying to convince him that he was going to do this, but couldn't convince the board. And then before he could get to him and get his change of mind, he died. Before that was about a year and a half ago. He was a pretty good friend of mine. People are interested in the professor Shorter, the first trials in the. He's a professor of history of medicine. He's written a book which contains a chapter on Maurice Hillman. Listeners might want to read that.
And of course, Dr. Hillerman was the chief vaccinologist for Merck Company.
And
you know, certainly we've followed his career during the years, and I think he was an honest man.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was dissuaded, you know, because he was getting a salary from Merck. He tried to do what was right, and to his credit. In fact, he was one of the first people really to call attention to the tremendous doses of mercury our children were getting as they would get vaccine after vaccine after vaccine after vaccine on the same day, all loaded with, of course, thimerosal, to the point where they were getting 60 to 80 times the maximum dose of mercury that was allowed by the Environmental Protection Agency all in one day.
Exactly. The Environmental Protection Agency measures the effect of methylmercury. The vaccines are not methylmercury, but ethylmercury, which is even more toxic to brain cells.
Well, now, of course, what are they getting in the vaccines, the ethyl and the methyl?
They're getting ethyl.
They're getting ethylmercury, so that's even more toxic than the other. Then.
Right. And the FDA has not done a toxicity study on ethyl, but it's using the figures the EPA provided on methyl, because they're lower.
Well, I would think that, of course, before you'd give something to all of our children, you would check and see if it was toxic and could produce permanent damage.
You think so. Unfortunately, it hasn't been done.
Well, of course, I think our listeners out there must understand that. Now, is it ethyl that was in methylate and mercurochrome?
Yes.
And, of course, it was just too toxic to put on the skin, so it was outlawed by the FDA.
Right.
And we used to use it all the time. And then one day, you couldn't buy it anymore because it had been outlawed. So it was too toxic to put on the skin, but it was all right to inject into our children. And I remember when, of course, Congressman Burton asked somebody from the CDC how you could justify outlawing methylate and mercurochrome because it was too toxic, and it was simply thimerosal. And it was too toxic to put on the skin, but it was all right to inject into our children, and the people from the CDC just didn't know how to answer that. And, of course, the answer is, it is either malicious or insanity. In either case, it should not be allowed, but it is. And we're poisoning our children, and 1 in 60 boys has autism, and 1 in 6 children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Well, Dr. Fudenberg, can you chelate this mercury out of the children? Can you get that out of them? Once they've been treated?
It can be done, but it's rather difficult. And chelation got a bad name because some of the people who first used the wrong type of chelation, which resulted in marked depletion of the essential trace minerals, a couple of deaths. If they use a chelation or another type that just gets out the mercury, doesn't bother the trace metals, and they use all chelation over 3 months instead of intravenous over 3 days, there would have been no adverse side effects. But because of that, chelation has gotten a bad name in many places, undeservedly so. It's safer than chelation. Like vaccines are much safer if they're oral than if they're injected. The nasal intestinal tract contains cells which neutralize viruses. To give right to the muscles, grow cells to prevent that. So it can be done. When we see a patient who has arthritis resulting from a vaccine given together with mercury, we check for mercury levels in red cells. If they're elevated, we give chelation orally for 3 months and then give our antidote to get. I'm too old to see patients anymore. But doctors come to me for advice and consultation, so I tell them what I suggest. They usually go along. They use a 3 month chelation period, then something which boosts not antibody immunity, but cell mediated immunity to get the cytotoxic T cells to either increase the number or become more efficient in killing viruses.
Well, do you think that the children are better after they've been chelated? Do we have any
studies? Yes, there it's a report of dramatic improvement with just chelation alone.
I see.
Incidentally, if your readers are interested, I published an analytic review in the International Journal of Clinical Investigation, December 2005. It's called Hazards of Vaccine, Roman numeral 2. It deals mainly with things I covered by first paper. It deals with mercury, hepatitis, and flu vaccines.
All right, fine. Well, I'll give you a call off the air. And, of course, I would like to get access to a lot of these. I think it's so important that we have them, and, of course, we can get them then to our listeners. Well, I guess it's been Dr. Fudenberg, of course, a professor of immunology, and he's been fascinated by vaccines and been working with them for almost 20 years. So we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program. But you have to understand that the hepatitis B vaccine, there's no justification for giving it, so why are they giving it? The influenza vaccine doesn't work, so why are we giving it? And why are the vaccines laden with mercury when we know how toxic it is? And that's a good question. Why? Well, Dr. Fudenberg, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program here. So what advice would you give to parents out there who have young children and, of course, they are going to thinking about taking vaccines for their children? Should they take the vaccine? Should they take specific vaccines or what?
First thing you should do is ask the pediatrician what are the possible adverse effects. Reply, if there are some, they let me see the adverse effects and their incidence, and the incidence of the disease we're trying to protects against is those who are vaccinated, I guess those are not. He says if there are no adverse effects, come and get a different pediatrician.
If he says there are no adverse effects, then get a different pediatrician.
Correct.
All right, fine, because there certainly are adverse effects, and the pediatrician should certainly know about that, and we expect them to be honest with us. And of course, but you think that the polio vaccine is a very important vaccine?
Well, polio is a very dreadful disease, again. It's given orally, not by injection.
All right, fine. And so the polio vaccine is good. We, of course, not giving the smallpox anymore. What are the other vaccines that you would suggest that people consider getting for their children? Do you think that the DPT at the present time, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus is a good vaccine to take or not?
Well, it's been improved recently, so it might be a lot better than it used to be, but again, I'm afraid of anything given by injection. Or they can't make it in a form taken by nasal inhalation or orally. I don't know. I guess it's just easier this way.
All right, fine.
It's not as dangerous as the measles, though. Remember, measles is the only virus used in childhood vaccination that paralyzes immune cells.
How do you mean it paralyzes immune cells?
It it renders them functionless. I suggest you read the summary of that, Peter Biolstone, Senior National Academy, Science of 1997. It makes the cell unable to ingest viruses.
In other words, these are the viruses that are in the vaccine actually
correct.
Tend to parallel
these viruses. Only amino, the other don't.
All right, fine. So basically, can it do more harm than good?
Certainly.
All right, fine. Of course, that then, talking about the MMR vaccine, which of course is a...
You should please tell me, warn your listeners, if any are Rh negative and Rh positive kids, they probably received Rogam to prevent lysis of the infant, newborn infant's red cells, and that Rogam is very rich in mercury, and the placenta has cells which transport mercury across the placenta or mother into the kidney. We published papers on that, so they should be doubly sure that kids whose mother receives Rogam at 28 months of pregnancy do not get mercury-containing vaccine.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is certainly Dr. Fudenberg, and I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a fascinating hour, and I appreciate your sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you very much.
God bless, and bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Dr. Fudenberg. And
I hang out for Barbara. She's going to call you.
All right, fine. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, fine. And Dr. Fudenberg has certainly been... Well, he's an elderly gentleman, but he has a great wealth of knowledge. And having been a professor of immunology for many years, retired, then, of course, became very interested in the vaccines. And he's very skeptical about the vaccines, and I hope that you were able to get the information he had. If you'd like to get a copy of the tape and listen to it a second time, why, of course, it is available from Radio Liberty. What we do know, of course, is that there's a definite relationship between the mercury and vaccines and autism, and we have four tape sets on mercury. We have a four tape set on autism. We carry the book Evidence of Harm, The Story of Autism. And then, of course, we have a couple of DVDs on mercury and the dangers of mercury. And you'll actually see the cells just coming in contact with mercury, nerve cells, and just dying right on the spot. So, I mean, there is a very, very real problem as far as the vaccines that they're giving, and specifically the influenza vaccine, because it still is loaded with mercury. And now, here in California, it's not supposed to be. But always look at the package insert to be absolutely certain, because... they will try to slip this on you and tell you there's nothing to worry about, certainly across the country. This is not the case. They've not outlawed the mercury, and you do not want to poison your child, which is what we're doing. So we hope that many of you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and get the four tape sets on mercury. Get the DVDs, two of them on mercury, and then, of course... the book Evidence of Harm is a really very, very touching book, because it tells about the human tragedy that comes with autism. And when you realize we have 1 in 60 children with this disease, with autism, and 1 in 6 of our children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality, and this never used to be that way. There's been an explosion in asthma. It's almost doubled here among our young people. Since we've been giving so many vaccines, there's an explosion in autoimmune disease and certainly an allergic disease, and then in juvenile diabetes, and then of course in autism and neurological abnormalities. Who would want to poison our children? Well, people who have a different agenda, people who have marched to a different drumbeat, who dream a different dream, who worship a different God. And until people understand that there are powerful spiritual forces going that are playing out in everything going on. Now, we don't ask you to believe a thing we say. We bring on experts, but we want you to know what's really going on. About 4 months ago, the vaccine court accepted the first case of autism as being related to vaccines and is going to pay the family. There are 5,000 cases. That has been kept totally out of the media, totally blacked out by the control media in the United States. They don't want the American people to know that even the government now, the vaccine court, aware, of course, children are compensated, or families are compensated for the poisoning of children from vaccines, that they have acknowledged the relationship between vaccines and autism and between mercury and autism. If you haven't heard my interviews with Dr. Geyer, you need to get them, Dr. Geyer, or interviews with Dr. Geyer's son, David. And, of course, the information is there. It's being actively suppressed. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, I suggest you get a copy of our talk on the hidden agenda that gets into water fluoridation. But you see, it works very, very closely because the fluoride is toxic and the mercury is toxic, and you get the two of them together, why they're more toxic. But you need to get the syllabus. And there, of course, you'll read the writings of Bertrand Russell in his book, The Impact of Science on Society, where he talks about through diet injection injunctions.